So I've been praying about a sermon series entitled Enemies from Within, talking about breaking free from different emotions that control us. You know, as Christians, you know, we're called to live victorious lives because of Jesus on the cross, and so often different emotions can come and consume us and overwhelm us. And so I believe that God wants us to unearth some of that and unpack some of that and help us understand how we can be set free from some of that. But this morning I was just praying and just really seeking the face of the Lord, praying over every seat in here. And I truly felt God kept laying one passage on my heart. And nothing scares a pastor more than getting up here in front of 250 people and having to preach something without very many notes. And so, but that's what God has led. And so this is what I feel God is leading for us this morning. And that passage is found in Ephesians chapter 2. And he's talking to a church that we've talked a little bit about, the Church of Ephesus. And the Church of Ephesus was a good church. The Church of Ephesus did a lot of good things. The Church of Ephesus was the kind of church that when evacuees were in their town, they'd have went and met those needs. The Church of Ephesus was a good church. And Jesus, when he confronts this church in Revelation chapter 2, he says that. He says, write this letter to the angel in the Church of Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds seven stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know of the things you've done. I have seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You have examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You discover they are liars. You have patiently suffered for me without quitting. So what's he telling the Church of Ephesus? He's saying, you're a good church. You do a lot of good things. You don't tolerate false prophets. You don't tolerate people to come in and speak the untruth. You're a good church. You do a lot of good things. You meet the needs of a lot of people. But he's not finished. Verse 4. But I have this one complaint against you. You don't love me or each other as you did at first. Other translations say you have forsaken your first love. Look how far you have fallen. Turn back to me and did the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove the lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in favor. You hate the evil deeds of Nicolaitans just as I do. So what's he saying there? He's saying, listen, I know you do a lot of good stuff, but you've forgotten the most important part. You've forgotten the most important part, and that's to love me. That's to love me. You're doing a lot of good things. You're trying really hard at this Christian life. You're going to church. You're doing all of these things, but you've forgotten to love. You're doing out of your own strength and not out of the Holy Spirit compelling you. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 says this, for the love of Christ compels us, drives us, is our heartbeat. It's the reason we do everything that we do. And so Jesus is confronting this church and he says, you're doing a lot of good stuff. But is it out of love? Is it out of love? See, obedience without love is religion. The Pharisees did a lot of good stuff. The Pharisees did a lot of good works. The Pharisees read their Bible. The Pharisees went to church. The Pharisees did all of these things. Yet Jesus says in Matthew 23, he said, I'd rather have a stone tied around my neck and thrown into the lake rather than be you on the day of judgment. These are people in the church. These are people doing a lot of good things. These are people who read their Bibles. But they miss it. They miss this. They have forsaken their first love. They forgot to love. And God has just really laid this on my heart for us this morning, church. Have we forgotten to love? Have we forgotten to love? I mean, yes, we can go and feed a bunch of people and do a bunch of good things. But is it driven by the love of Christ? Is it driven by this overwhelming, reckless love of God? Where we're so consumed by His love that we're just totally submitted to Him. We're totally submitted to Him. And He says, go do this, we do it. Okay. Total submission. Or are we picking and choosing what we do and what we don't? Are we picking and choosing how we serve and how we don't? Are we picking and choosing what we do or what we don't? See, Luke 6:46, Jesus turned to these men who were following Him, who left their livelihoods, left their jobs, left their families, and were following Him. And He turns to them in Luke 6:46, and He says, why do you call me Lord? You don't do as I say. These were people following Jesus. These were people who left their homes, left their jobs. And Jesus turned around and said, why are you calling me Lord? I'm not your Lord. I'm not. You're your Lord. You're your Lord. What did He mean by that? He meant this. He meant we can proclaim Christ as our Lord and Savior all day long. But as long as we're hanging on to things, as long as we're hanging on to our securities, as long as we're hanging on to our comforts, as long as we're hanging on to it, as long as it's our plan that we're allowing God to put in motion, as long as it's about us. And this morning, the plea that I feel like God has laid on my heart, trust me, I did not want to do this. I kept fighting God all morning. God, I don't want to. Let me preach the sermon and I prepare, please. But I believe that there are people in this room that God's trying to bring back to His heart. God's trying to bring you back. You're not a bad person. You haven't lost your salvation or anything like that. But you're forsaking your first love. You're going through motions. You're going through routines. We're going through rituals. And God's calling you back to His heart. Don't forsake your first love. Repent from those things. Repent from those comforts. Repent from those idols. Repent from those things that you've allowed into your life to consume you. And come back to the heart of God. Come back to Him. There's a song on the radio right now called The Gospel. And there's just so much truth to it. And it just talks about when we get encountered with the gospel, how it just changes everything. The gospel, what's the gospel mean? The gospel basically can be translated into good news. The good news of Christ. When we encounter the good news of Christ, the gospel of Christ, all of a sudden, what those other people are saying about me don't quite mean as much. All of a sudden, these issues going on in my family, I'm giving them to Him. I'm trusting Him. See, worry is the antithesis of faith. And God is calling us to total submission. Because Peter tells us, cast our cares upon Him because He cares for you. Cast your burdens upon Him because He loves you. But we hang on to these things. And we allow them to become our gods. And we ask God to take them away. And God says, no. They're the thorn in your side. I want you to love me and worship me through them. Have we forsaken our first love? Is the gospel of Jesus Christ what drives us every day? The first time I ever saw the gospel in action. I was sitting in this room about 16, 17 years ago. And I had started coming to church. I was living a wild life. I was a teenager, and I started coming to church just kind of checking it out. You know, kind of going back and forth. Okay, do I want to live in the world? Do I want to indulge in sin? Do I want to worship God? Do I want to surrender to Him? So I was kind of going back and forth, back and forth. And then one day, I was in this room, and there was somebody who was here. He's a missionary. And he tells a story, and I've shared it with some of you. He tells a story about this little girl. She is 4 or 5 years old. And her dad was a drunk. And her dad come in. He was drunk. Her mom wasn't there. And he begins to rape her. The mom comes in and sees this happening. The mom jumps on the dad. The dad, in a drunken rage, throws her down, grabs a knife, kills the mom, and finishes raping the little 4-year-old girl. The police come, take the little girl away, arrest the dad, all that. Fast forward 10 years. This little girl's in this Christian orphanage. This little girl was taught the gospel. This little girl was taught the truth. This little girl was taught the freedom that comes from the cross, the victory that was paid for you and I on Calvary, the abundant life that Jesus said 10:10 provides. She was taught this. And 10 years later, as a 14-year-old girl, the man who took everything away from her walks up to the gates of this orphanage. Took every chance of her to ever bear children. Took her freedom. Took her mom. And this man walks up to the gates. Initially, the leader, the missionary, is ready to call the cops and get him thrown back in jail for breaking probation. But the little 14-year-old girl stops him. Says, no, don't. And she walks up to the gates and she extends her arms to him, saying, I love you and I forgive you. The man falls on his knees, breaking down, crying. How? After everything I've done for you, how can you forgive me? And this 14-year-old girl got it. She says, because Christ has forgiven me. How can I not forgive you? And this man just breaks down. This man has become a missionary of his own. He travels into jails in Guatemala, ministering the same gospel. So the obedience of this one girl has transformed thousands and thousands of hardened criminals' lives. One 14-year-old girl who chose not to be a victim, who chose not to hang on to her burdens, who chose not to continue to live defeated life, but I am going to live out this gospel. I am going to choose forgiveness over bitterness. I'm going to choose victory over defeat. I am not going to be defeated by my past anymore. Not because of who I am, but because of what Christ did for me on the cross. I choose to live in victory. That's the first time the gospel became real to me. And since that day, 16 or 17 years ago, my heart and my cry is, God, let me be that. I don't want a fake church. I don't want to fake a relationship with you. I don't want to just come in, do a bunch of good deeds and pat ourselves on the back because we feel good about ourselves. I don't want to forsake my first love. I want us to be the church. Not perfect. Screw up every day. But get back up and pursue the heart of Christ. Pursue the heart of Christ. Understanding the victory that was paid for me on the cross and not taking it back, not bringing it to the altar and say, God, take it. And then a couple days later say, oh no, sorry, I take this back. Not living a life of worry and fear. Not living a life of consumption. But truly allowing this gospel of Jesus Christ to compel us, to drive us, to lead every word we say, to lead every deed we do, to be driven. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. And this morning, the plea that I felt God led us to is come back to the heart of Christ. Don't be defined by good deeds. Don't be defined by how much word you know. Don't be defined by how much you go to church. Be defined by the love of Christ. And if there's anything that you've allowed, any idol, any sin, repent this morning. Bring it to the altar. If there's any fear or worry that you've laid and you keep going back and getting it, leave it this morning. Leave it. Let's lay our pride aside. God wants to do something supernatural in us as individuals and us as a corporate church. But it's got to be centered around the love of Christ that was demonstrated on the cross. Romans 8:11 says the same power that conquered the grave lives in you. Church, we have it. It's there. Do you have the forgiveness like that little girl? Or do you still hang on to past pains and past hurts? Do you still hang on to what was done to you? Again, we're going to do this sermon series, Enemies from Within, and we're going to confront emotions that compel, that control us. But this morning, between you and God, no one else, have you forsaken your first love? Maybe this morning you don't know Christ. You've gone through routines and rituals, but you've never surrendered your life to Him. This morning, we want to explain to you what that looks like. We want to explain to you that you can be set free, that your sins can be forgiven, and they no longer have to define you. You can be born again to the family of God. So this morning, myself and Pastor Chris will be up here. And we just want to pray with you if you need somebody to pray. We're just going to have the altars open if God is leading you to come to the altar. But this morning, let's forget about everything else. And let's ask God to examine the depths of our hearts. We mask things well, don't we? We justify things well, don't we? Yeah, but I'm not this bad. I'm not as bad as this person. You may not be, but God isn't judging you based off of that person. This morning, He wants your heart. This morning, He wants your heart. He doesn't want your good deeds. He doesn't want your faithfulness to the church organization. He wants your heart. And when He has your heart, it will produce good deeds. It will produce faithfulness to the church. It will produce all these things. But this morning, He wants your heart. Let's stand and pray. Father, we love You. We praise You.